We're still on healing, and it's such an important thing for us to know about. Tonight we're going to have lesson number 38 in our series, in our home Bible study, and we're going to talk about the healing power that's in the Word. Now, just to go back, to kind of show you exactly what we're trying to do here, we have our little stair step in here. The series is called How to Get in Position to Receive Healing, and we have our little stairway to healing there, that we have a little diagram, okay? And what we said in the very beginning was that so many times what we're trying to do in the very first step is we're trying to start on the top step, which is very difficult to do. We've heard people say things like, if you just have faith, or if you just believe, or believe you receive when you pray. But when you're praying for healing and you've been diagnosed with something that's quite serious, it's not so easy sometimes just to jump in there and say, okay, I'll pray in faith. Now, praying in faith, we need to define that a little bit, because some people's idea of what faith is, some people think faith is just sort of a warm feeling and things will probably work out sort of okay. That's not what faith is. Faith is the evidence of something being absolutely true, so there's no room for doubt before you ever see it. And the only way you can have that degree of faith is to know in your heart what God's will is and what He has to say about the situation and what your rights and privileges as a Christian are. Therefore, because of this, it's very difficult just to stand on that top step and say, I'm just going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to really try hard to believe that this diagnosis that I received from the doctor, that when I pray now with my friend here, that I'm just going to believe I receive it and I'm healed. It's not so easy to do unless you have some foundation to just say, yeah, I can do that because I've been on step one, step two, step three, step four, and I'm ready to do that. So that's why we're going up the stairway. For example, you can't believe you receive when you pray if you have no idea if God heals today. I mean, now we all know better than that, but that was our first step we had to get on. Know that God is still in the healing business today. If you don't know that, how in the world are you ever going to pray for faith, believe you receive when you pray? You can't. The second thing we had to do is that know that it's God's will to heal everyone. Because if you don't know that, when you try to get on the top step and to believe you receive when you pray, there's going to be that little niggling doubt. Well, maybe it's not God's will to heal me, though. And if you have the slightest doubt about whether it's God's will to heal you, you're not going to be able to believe that you receive at the instant you pray. You with me now? This is why we're taking our time going up these steps. Because as we progress from one step to another, we've eliminated another problem that's going to be a barrier for us. We've eliminated another area where the enemy could come in and say, well, God doesn't want to heal you. You know, I mean, 2 years ago, you remember what you did? Boy, yeah. Well, I confess that. Yeah, I know, but, you know, the enemy will get in there any way he can and try to put a doubt that, yeah, God will heal 99% of the people, but you, remember the thing you did. He's not going to be so anxious about healing you. If he can get in there and create any doubt, he will. So what we're doing here, we're eliminating all that kind of a doubt. We found out through 4 weeks, 3 weeks, on this step number three, we spent some time there because a lot of Christians, the very area they have a problem with is knowing that it's God's will to heal all of us. You hear it because when they pray, they say things like this, Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name to heal now, if it be thy will. They don't know if it's his will or not, so they add that little thing in there. And if we're adding that little thing in there, we've ruined our prayer, really, because we aren't sure. We can't then, if we think it might not be God's will to heal when we pray, then we can't believe we receive when we pray because of that one little doubt there. See? But after the last 3 weeks, we don't have that doubt there anymore. Anybody got that doubt anymore? I don't think so. We have covered this with many, many scriptures. Well, tonight, we're going to move on to a new step. And this is one that I don't think you've heard before too much. And it's know-how to put God's healing power to work in your body, to know when it's there and when it's not. Now, I have done a lot of prayer and study of the Word on this thing, because this is an area that I need to work on, maybe more in some of the areas. Because I need, you know, when we pray, we need to know that that healing power has been released into us and it's working in our bodies to effect a healing and a cure for whatever it is we are praying for healing for. That way, we can get to that top step to believe we receive when we pray. If we know that healing power is working in our body, we can climb on that top step. And so we're going to talk now about knowing how to put God's power to work in your body and to know when it's working. Now, before we get into this whole thing here, I just want to say there's five different steps to this, okay? How power becomes available, how power comes on the scene, healing power we're talking about specifically, how that power is released into your body, how that power works in your body, and how it keeps on working till the healing manifests, or how it might not keep on working, and what can shut it down. So that's what we're going to be covering here. It's very important, because this is where most Christians, if they're not missing it on God's will, knowing God's will to heal all, this is an area that a lot of Christians don't understand. They don't understand when the healing power is working in their body. Like if someone lays hands on you and prays with you, and you go up in a line, and an evangelist is there, and they've sung a lot of songs, and this man is known for his healing ministry or whatever, and he lays hands on you, you know, 80% of the Christians walk away thinking, do I feel any different? Has anything happened? And see, that, and we're going to prove this, is no indicator at all of whether God's healing power has been released into your body. We're going to just find this out. And we're going to also find out how to know when it is released into your body. Wouldn't that be nice? So we're going to try to eliminate some of these sense knowledge things we go on. Did anyone fall into the power? They didn't fall. Maybe they didn't get healed. You know, that's never been a criteria for healing. There's only one time in Jesus' ministry where it's any record at all that he ever felt the healing power go out of his body. And that was a woman with the issue of blood. That tells us that's the exception when there's a demonstration of that power right at the instant in terms of feeling it flow out, feeling it flow in. You hear people say, well, I didn't feel anything go into me. And I've heard, I knew this one person, my friend, who when they got healed, they could feel the healing power go in. Therefore, I probably didn't. No, that has nothing to do with it. You might or you might not. We're going to cover some of these things so we eliminate a lot of this doubt and cloudiness in this issue, okay? So, we're going to find out how power becomes available, how power comes on the scene, how power is released by prayer, faith, and action, how power works, and how it completes its work. And that's the very thing. Until that healing power in your body completes its healing work, you don't see the manifestation in your body. And that's what everyone is looking for way up in the beginning. But you will see it if you don't shut it down. And just because you don't see it working doesn't mean it's not working. A lot of times, folks, we shut down something that's many times what's already been started that is undetectable to our senses yet. Just like that fig tree that Jesus cursed. Remember that? They walked by it that night after he cursed it in the morning. It didn't look any different. If you were going by senses, you'd say, Jesus, that fig tree you cursed is still living. You're losing it. You know, you don't seem to have it anymore, Jesus. But no. I mean, when he cursed that fig tree, something happened to that fig tree. But the physical evidence of what happened didn't appear until later. And that's the same way with healing. Most of the time, very seldom, or on exception, is when you get an instantaneous healing. It could happen. If it does, praise God. If it isn't instantaneous, in other words, what we mean by instantaneous healing, if the manifestation, full manifestation, isn't instantaneous, don't give up on it. Don't look at your body. It's working in you and will continue working. And when it's done, guess what happens? You got your manifestation. You know, I thought about it this week, and you know, and I was going to cover this at the end of the lesson, but I think I'll cover it now because it explains what I'm doing so well. It's sort of like we're talking about healing power here. Now, what's powerful? Think of something very powerful. I was thinking about that today, and I thought of a bulldozer. Bulldozer, to me, is powerful. But you see those things cranking along, clanking around with their treads going, you know. They're not going very fast. They're going maybe 3 or 4 miles an hour. They come to a tree. They're still going 3 or 4 miles an hour as they go through the tree. You know, they come to a big hunk of dirt or something in the way. They got the blade down. They don't even slow down. You ever notice that? They don't even slow down most of the time. They just keep on going. That thing just parts, you know. That to me is power. It doesn't have to be fast. Just nothing stops. It just keeps on going. Well, I thought, you know, healing power and a bulldozer. Let's talk about the analogy here for a second. You know, when the bulldozer is parked in the contractor's construction yard, sitting there, it's available for work, is it not? We're going to see the analogy between that and God's word, God's promises. God's promises are like that bulldozer sitting still. There's power there, but nobody's put it to work yet. When the word is preached, that's like when the bulldozer goes onto the job site. It's ready for work now, but no work has been accomplished yet. That word has to be received into the person. When that person receives that word into their heart, believes it, and acts on it, that's when that healing, that's when that bulldozer goes to work. That's the analogy of the bulldozer starting to work. And the bulldozer continues to work. That power continues to work as long as we keep that thing that we believed, just like our salvation. Think about it. First, what was the, there was a promise. God prophesied, there was prophecies in the Word. All these things talked about salvation in the future tense. A promise of salvation. A promise of a coming Savior. That's sort of like that powerful bulldozer sitting in the construction yard, not doing anything yet. The potential's there, the power's there in the Word, the promise, but no one's put it to work yet. Then someone begins to preach the promise. Preach on, hey, did you know it's available? Now, that bulldozer comes alongside, that power is available, ready to work. It's not working yet, but it's right there. When that word is preached, there's power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation in this case. Then, as the person listens to that, and they faith comes in their heart, and they decide to act on that, that power, salvation power in this case, goes to work in them. They become saved. At that moment, something changes for life in that person. There was the promise, nothing happened. There was the word that came forth. Nothing's happened yet until somebody does something with it. Then someone receives that word, acts on that word, and now that power is going to work in your life. You are now a new person in Christ. Now, that salvation power will continue to work throughout your entire lifetime on this earth unless you do something to stop it. Now, I don't know anybody that's doing anything to stop it. But if you wanted to, you could. You could say something like, God, I don't want you in my life anymore. I refuse this whole concept of stuff. You know, you can get out of this if you want. It would be very rare. Don't think this is something that happens often. But it could happen. The Holy Spirit won't stay where he's not wanted. Now, you know, this, we call it the unpardonable sin, all those things. I don't want to dwell on that. But I'm saying that power will continue to work until you finally pass this scene and go on to heaven. A healing, that salvation power will work all your life. Unless you do something to change it. And when it finally finishes its work is when we pass the scene and we go on then into the new world. Okay, I'm just giving you a little analogy of the very, how power works, how it's available, how it comes on the scene to work, how you start it to work, how it, you keep it continue working, and then as it continues to work and we don't do anything to stop it, finally, the healing or whatever it is we're believing for will be manifested. Now that, you know, it should give you a few hints ahead of time before we get there of why so many people that are prayed for don't get healed. It's not that the healing power is missing. It's not that it even doesn't go into their body. Did you know you can have power go into your body and lie dormant if you don't do something with it? That's what Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God. You know, you've got a gift of God that came in you when we laid hands on you and prophesied over you, Timothy. You're not using it. Stir it up. How many of you know that the love of God, when you were saved, was shed abroad in your heart? Did you know that? Did you know the word Romans 5:5 says that when you were saved, the love of God came into your heart? Now, does that mean that every day when you get up, the first thing you're going to do, because that's in there, is run around acting in love all day? No, you have to put it to work, don't you? It's in there. It's the power's working in you, but you have to put it to work. Does everybody know here that you don't automatically walk in love every day? This is a process. Even though the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart, well, it's like healing power. I'm just giving you a little preview of where we're going. When it gets in your body, if you don't nurture that, maintain that, it can just slow right down. You can slow it down. You can slow it down by saying, I guess that prayer didn't work. I don't feel any different the next morning. You can say that, and that healing power shut right down. That's working, that started working in your body. You didn't know it was working maybe, but it was. It takes a while, you know, but you shut it right down. You get out of love, that'll shut that healing power right down. You get in strife with your spouse, that healing power that's in your body, doesn't leave, it just shuts it right down. I can prove this. We're going to prove this in the next several lessons about how this works. You begin to see that, hey, you know, just because I've been prayed for, until that healing manifests, I have to maintain this healing power that's in my body. I have to make sure that I continue to walk in love. I have to make sure that I don't invalidate the prayer, but what I'm saying, like, I guess I wasn't healed. I'll shut that power right down. Because why? If you believe something in your heart, confess your mouth, what you believe will come to pass. I'll shut that healing power right down that was released into your body. There's all kinds of things that we need to do. We need to be continually praising God, thanking God. Father, this is a good way to do it. Father, I thank you that when we prayed last Tuesday night at 7:30 over at this house that I was at or wherever it was, I thank you that your healing power was administered to my body at that time. And I thank you now that it's working in me mightily at this moment to effect a healing and a cure in my body. You continue to say that, maintain that healing power that was started in your body, and that healing, and walk in love, and keep your confession consistent, and that healing will manifest for whatever it might be. I don't care what it is. I don't care whether it's a minor cold or AIDS. If you will do this, this will work every single time, because it is God's will to heal all. But see, now we discuss this power, you know, some of these things I'm talking about, and I go, wait a minute, I don't know, wait, I haven't heard that. We'll get there. I'm just sort of taking you a quick tour before we start in and go through this in a slower fashion. So that's why we're doing what we're doing tonight. Now, first of all, let's open up to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start looking at the Word of God. What we're going to find out in these lessons is we always think of God maintaining all control over any power, any spiritual power. And I think we're beginning to see here that, yes, initially God has the power, but when he releases it to us, it's up to us what we do with it. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's see. All right, read verses 1, then stop, then we'll go 2, 3, and 4.
Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours.
Where am I? Did I say 1 Peter or 2 Peter? Oh, yeah. I was in 1 Peter. Okay, I'm sorry, Chuck. That's why I wasn't going off. Keep going. Verse 2.
Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
All right, verse 3, read that one.
His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness.
Okay, let's discuss that, verse 3. Now read verse 3 one more time there so everybody hears.
His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness.
Now listen to what Chuck said there. His divine power is going to give us something. Is that what it says?
He has given us something.
When I read has given, I always want to check and see if I'm enjoying it, because if he's given it, I don't have this going in my life, something's wrong somewhere. According as his divine power has given unto us, how many things?
All things.
That pertain to
life and goodness.
Hey, he's given us everything that pertains to our lives already. That's what that says. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, or goodness, if it says in NIV. How does it come? How am I going to get that working in my life if he's already given it? What's the next thing it says?
Through our knowledge.
Would you say?
Action.
Knowledge first, though. We have to know about it first, don't we? See, if we don't know, if he's given us all this stuff, well, I had an example last week of getting Marianne a new car. It said, honey, I bought a new car. I have to go on this trip. I'm going to pay for it when I'm over here in Fort Wayne. I know the color you want. You told me about that. I'm going to pay for it over here, and I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks. Just pick it up anytime you want. It'll be paid for over there. All right? Now, my job is done. You know, if it's God that's giving something, his job is done when he's paid for it and he said it's available for you. Hath given us all things that pertain to life. But what's Marianne's job if she wants that new car?
She has to
she have to act and get over there and get the car. If she never gets the car, it can be paid for, but never use it. And that's the same thing with God's promises. So when I hear he's given me something, and it pertains to my life, I want to find out how I get it. And the first thing he tells me is, it's through knowledge. There's something to do with knowledge. In other words, Mike, you're going to have to know something if you want these promises. What is it I'm going to have to know, Lord? Read verse 4.
Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires.
Okay. I'm going to get these things. Chuck just read it. These things that have already been given to me, have been given, everything that pertains to my life, through the knowledge of these things. Well, Lord, how am I going to have the knowledge of these things? Glad you asked, Mike. The way you do it, I've given you a list of some exceeding great and precious promises that contain all these things that I've given you. See what he's saying here? First of all, he's saying, I've given you something. And I've given you something already that pertains to your life. The way you get this thing is through knowledge of what I've given you. That makes sense. If I don't know what it is, if she doesn't know about the car, she can't go pick it up. If I don't know about the promises, I can't go pick them up. What are they, Lord? Certain promises I've given you in the Word. That's how you find out what I've given you. See, that's what he's saying here. I've given you some stuff. It pertains to your life, but you're not going to know. If you don't know about it, it won't do you any good. But the reason you're going to know about it is because I've given you a list of them in my Word. See, but what happens if we never figure out what those are? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If you don't know, you can't play the game. If you don't know what's given, you're never going to act on it. Like Madge says here, action. How can Marianne act on the new car if she doesn't know there's one over here? Let's say I left her a note. It was even better. I had to go in a hurry. I was going to buy her the car for her birthday. And I had to go, and I left her a note on the counter out there. And I said, honey, I've got to suddenly go out of town on a business trip. I bought that car you want for your birthday. It's over there. Just go pick it up. And let's say, well, before she sees the note, she opens the window, and the wind comes through, and it blows the note under her cabinet or something. If she doesn't know that I've given her this new car, even though it's been paid for, she's not going to enjoy it, simply because she has no knowledge of it. That's why God says you need the knowledge of what I've given you. And they are exceeding great and precious promises. Well, they would be, wouldn't it, if it pertained to my life, all the things I need for my life, it would be exceeding great and precious. So we're not going to know unless we get into the Bible. All right? Now, so we've got some promises. That's what we're learning. There are promises in God's Word that will give us everything that we need for our life, that are already promises that we can use. All right? Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll learn something else about God's promises. What we're learning is about his promises right now. And Diana, have you got your glasses handy?
Couldn't
find them? Okay. And you never wear yours, so yours aren't handy, so you can't read, right? So, who wants to read then?
What chapter?
2 Corinthians chapter 1,
verse 20.
You make you hot too. That's a really hot light.
Are we on tape?
Oh yeah. Want me to fill in with a little music or something while you get ready here?
Find it.
All right.
Let me focus.
It's hard at your age, I know.
All right. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God.
Wow, that's kind of a... It doesn't read too much like mine, but mine says for all the promises. What does yours say?
For no matter how many promises.
For no matter how many promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
This
is. So you got the NIV probably, don't you? Well, let me read you what mine says, okay. For all the promises of God. Now, I didn't understand what that first clause in that one meant, so I can't really comment on it. Read it again.
For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes.
Oh, okay, that says all, I guess.
Yeah.
That's just another way of saying all.
Whether it's one or 100.
Yeah, okay, so no matter how many he's made. Wouldn't it be easier to say all of them? To me it would, but... For no matter how many he's made and how many he might have thought about not honoring, but on the other hand, he did, those are all okay. That's what it sounds like to me.
It makes it more kind of wishy-washy.
Yeah, kind of. I like this one. For all the promises of God are yes. How does that sound?
Short to the point.
Short to the point. I like that one.
Matches that.
But it says the same thing. It's just a little, I wasn't used to hearing it that way, and I had to think about it a little bit.
Well, one thing with saying it this way, you know, we may only know a few of his promises. And so it's all of those and all we don't know that we need to learn.
Yeah, okay, that's another way of looking at it. It makes you think about maybe there's something I need to learn. But the main point here is all the promises, no matter how you read this, of God are what?
Yes.
And amen. In other words, there's no promise he's ever made that the answer isn't an immediate yes, if it's in his word. And what does amen mean? Does anybody know what that means? So be it. Yes, so be it. Yes, done. That's what God's saying. If I made that promise, yes, it's still valid and done, as far as I'm concerned. You can have it. Now, that, to me, is a little stronger way of putting it. In other words, what he's saying is, the first thing we read, 2 Peter, I've given you some promises. And my promises are in my word, and they pertain to your life. Now we've learned that all those promises, his answer is always yes. If it's a healing promise, the answer is always yes. If it's a salvation promise, his answer is always yes. Whatever promises in his word, the answer is always yes under all conditions. Okay, we need to understand that. All right, we need to know that there are some promises in God's word. Now, turn to Romans 1:16, and we'll find out something about these promises. This is the next thing we need to know about these promises. Right now we found out, thank God, praise God, there's some promises in his word, and they're always yes. How do we get the promises, Lord? Well, turn to Romans, and we'll tell you. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Now, in case of salvation, how does the promise come? All right. Eunice, would you read verse 16? Yes.
I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God, the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile.
There we go. I'm not ashamed of what?
The gospel.
What's the gospel?
The word.
The word. Another word. Good news. It's good news if you got promises in the word, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Gospel just means the good news in the word, really. And it's good news when you find out you got some promises that pertain to life and godliness. So I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ or the promises of the word of Christ. For what is it? What is the word? It is what? What's the next thing? What does it say, Eunice?
Power.
Power. Thank you, Madge. His word is power. His word is power. His word is stored power. Why? Because there's promises in there. It's stored power. This power is not released until someone hears this word and acts on it. Okay? But it's like a battery. Like we were talking about batteries earlier before the meeting started. Stored power. In this Bible that you have here, with the promises that are contained here, is like a storage battery. All these promises are potential energy to be used in here. If it's salvation, it's potential power to save your soul from eternal damnation. That's important to know. That's an exceeding great and precious promise. And how does that promise come? By knowing it's in here. Having a list of what those promises are, which this word contains. This word, when you got saved, someone told you what this Bible had to say about salvation. They had to tell you something to the effect was, if you ask Jesus into your heart, you'll be saved. If you believe he was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. If you confess Jesus as your Lord, you shall be saved. The things that the Word of God says in here. That's why the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. for preaching salvation. There is stored power in here that is only released when someone hears it and acts upon it. Did it not release great power into your life when you heard what Jesus did for you on the cross as far as sin goes and you acted upon it? Is that power still operating in your life? Yes, it is. Have you seen Jesus yet? Have you seen heaven yet? No. But do you have any doubt that power is working in your life?
No.
Not a bit. See? That is stored. Now, there are many people in this country, in this world, who this power is stored in here that have never heard it, have never acted upon it. There's not so many that haven't heard it anymore, maybe in a few isolated places. But most people that aren't saved have heard it. They have just never acted upon it. And that power is still stored. It's still available. It's like that bulldozer sitting in that construction company's, just sitting there idle, not being put to work in this area at all. That salvation bulldozer is not working. It's just sitting there. It's never been put to work. See, these promises are stored power. The gospel is the, Eunice read, power of God. You may never have understood that before this way. How the gospel can become power, stored power, that when acted upon, starts something in motion in your life. The greatest miracle you're ever going to see in your life is the miracle of the new birth. When it changed you from a sinner, eternally headed for hell, until a saint of God, declared righteous by God on your way to heaven. Brand new person. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and everything has become new and is of God now. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're not in the world anymore. You're not subject to that power anymore. You're a child of the living God. That all changed when you acted upon this stored power that was in this word. Well, the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. But did you know the gospel of God is the power of God unto healing? The gospel on healing is the power of God unto healing. The gospel on prosperity is the power of God unto prosperity. Whatever you need in this Bible, find the promise that applied, and it is the power of God when acted upon and believed to whatever you might need. Now, salvation is clear to us because we've acted on that. So, number one, you need to understand that the word contains power. Hebrews 4:12 says it this way. It says, the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, what does it first say? The word of God is what? Alive and powerful. There's that word again. The word of God has stored power in it. Now, we already knew that from Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16 dealt more with the gospel as the power of God unto salvation. Hebrews 4:12 is a little broader statement. It says the word of God is alive and powerful, period. In other words, whatever promise you might want to apply, it has stored power for that. It also tells us that the word of God adds one more little bit of information, that the word of God is not only powerful, but it is, what did I say else? Alive.
Your mind says active.
And active. Okay. Active and powerful. Active then, okay. The word of God is active. That means this isn't just some old power that used to be there and isn't doing it anymore. Hebrews 4:12 says it. Not only is the power in the word of God as stored energy, it's working always active. It's active. It's always available. That's what that means. Alive. It's another way. My word says, my version says alive.
Says,
if something's alive,
it says living and active.
Living and active. What does that tell you? We see, without that, you might say, well, yes, the word of God was that. I can see that a long time ago when the miracles were working and the apostles were performing miracles. But it's not for today. No, Hebrews 4:12 throws that away and says, no, it's alive, active, now. So now we know that the word of God is not only powerful, but it is active now. This thrills me. This word, when you find a promise, has stored power for your problem, and it's active right now.
Has to be alive before it can be active.
That's right. Has to be alive before it's active. Isn't that good news? Do you ever think about it that way? When you see a promise in here that is covered by your redemption, especially, you should latch onto that and say, that's mine. If I'm not enjoying that in my life right now, I need to find out why. Because God gave that to me. Go ahead, Martha.
That I get from that is, and it's constant. It doesn't have to be, God doesn't have to be refueled. He's always full of fuel.
Yes.
And now we need to go to Him to be refueled. But He doesn't have to be refueled. And he, it's constant. It never goes any lower. It's always the same.
That's right. And we should stay fueled up, too. We should pray in the Spirit. We should, you know, read His Word, you know, spend some time praising Him, you know, not as a duty, but as just out of excitement and being thrilled with who we are in Him and what He's given us. When you begin to see some of this stuff, I mean, I can get pretty excited sometimes up there with the Lord. I say, Lord, you know, and He'll remind me of stuff. You get cruising in a certain way with the Lord, and the more you get into His Word, the more excited you get, the more He gives you. Because, you know, hey, if you're a teacher or if you're the Holy Spirit, you want to help someone along that's trying to learn. But if someone gets in there every morning and goes, well, I better put in 15 minutes. I haven't done it for 3 weeks now, and I know I'm supposed to do this. You're not going to get as much out of it as you do when you get in there and you say, you know, last week those sickness symptoms hit me. And when I prayed, they didn't go away right away. I wonder why. What, you know, because I know He's given me healing. I know He wants me healed. If you don't figure these things out and find out where these little things, where the hang-ups are, God will show you every time. God is a wonderful God. He's got some wonderful stuff for us. And I've noticed that every time I really get into His Word for a sustained period of time, like, you know, we all have weeks that we're busier than other weeks and weeks that we don't spend as much time in the Word or something as we might, or spend time with the Lord as we did the week before or something. But I've noticed this over a period of years. The weeks that are weeks where somehow I've spent a lot of time in the Word with the Lord are weeks that spiritual things happen in my life. The weeks that I don't, nothing much spiritual seems to happen. Like the last few days, I've really been kind of cranking on this a little bit and learning some things, really. And I was excited about it because I'm learning a lot about God's power. And I find out when I'm in the Word, you know, like in the mornings and then in the evening, instead of just sitting watching TV or just reading a cowboy book like I do a lot of times. I read these Westerns. I like to read Westerns. I don't know. They're relaxing to me. And that's fine and good. But lately I've been spending more time on this because I need to get some things under control for our lesson. But God then becomes so much more real. And things begin to more happen in my life. I'll go lay down at night. Like last night I laid down after spending some time. And all of a sudden He just started giving me some scriptures that were just perfect to the point of what we're talking about here, as I quieted down and just laid in bed. And I have to get up then, and Marianne hears me out here and banging around and, you know, and turning a light on maybe, or maybe sometimes I get a flashlight and write some notes down because, you know, that's precious stuff when God speaks to you about something. And then He has little cute things He does once in a while. But Marianne thinks I'm a little crazy sometimes, but God has a way of waking me up sometimes with an alarm. And it's always different. Sometimes it'll go bong, bong, bing, bong, or something. Other times it'll ring like an alarm clock. We don't have those old-fashioned clank, 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 you know. Already some of you are thinking I'm crazy. This morning He did it again, you know, just exactly at 5 a.m. I was late, you know, I'd wake up a couple times. I thought, I really ought to get up because I got some more work to do in the lesson for tonight. Maybe I'll sleep just a little bit longer. And I did. I slept on another 15 minutes. Exactly 5 a.m. I heard His alarm. And it's loud. I a couple of times when it first happened, I said, Marianne,
the bird.
What is that?
I heard birds. I was up too.
Yeah, but that wouldn't make a bird that go ding dong. And it's loud.
I bet that was Avon calling.
Yeah. Maybe what? I've heard buzzers. I've heard, God's got a sense of humor. You know, time to get up, Mike. And I always get up when that happens. I know, well, that's God, you know, it's time. And sometimes when that happens, there's not going to be time later in the day to do it. I'll think at the time, well, I'll sleep another half hour because, you know, I'm retired. I can, you know, the world is my oyster. I can do whatever I want with the day. No, something comes up and I think, why didn't I get up when God, you know, it's all learned. Get up when He has that little alarm, something you need to get that little extra. Well, we went a little slower than what I planned to, and we didn't get nearly done with our lesson, and I don't want to hurry through the next part. So what do you say we quit for tonight and we pick up here next week? And because otherwise, if I get started with the next part, we're going to be here a while. All right?
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Okay. Oh, you need another online?
Yes.
All right, last week, continuing on our healing series, we talked about the fact that the power for what you need is contained in the Word, and how that the Word is like a storage battery almost. And one of the scriptures that we studied was Romans 1:16, which says, the gospel, or the good news, or the promises of God are the power of God unto whatever, unto salvation, unto healing, whatever you need. And so let's go over our homework. Now, since we didn't get through our lesson completely last week, I'm going to skip about five questions in our homework, and I've included them in the homework for the coming week. Okay? So here's the first question. 38, lesson 38 is what it is. Homework for lesson 38. All right, first question. If I'm sick and I want to be healed by God, God's healing power must somehow go to work on my body. True or false?
True.
True, yeah. You know, I mean, if I put in there, I want to be healed by God. I mean, obviously, you could go to doctors, and that's fine and good. But if you're sick and you want to be healed by God, somehow God's healing power must go to work on your body. That's, by definition, what it is to be healed by God. All right. The power to heal comes on the scene to heal when we believe the Bible is true. True or false?
True.
It takes a little more than that.
More than that.
Yeah, it does take a little more than that. The power to heal comes on the scene. What did we learn last week about when does the power to heal come on the scene? Remember, the power is available and stored in the Word. Tonight we're going to talk about this fact in more detail. The power to heal comes on the scene when the Word is preached or taught or read by you in the Word, okay? Now, it's available in the Word. The gospel is the power of God. But somehow you've got to get that Word out there or preach it, okay? So the power to heal comes on the scene to do something. And I'm going to give you more of that tonight. Actually, that question probably should have been left for tonight. It's one of the parts we didn't get to, I think. So, but that would be false. You got to do more than just believe the Bible is true to get the power to come on the scene to heal. God's power is made available through the promises in His Word.
True.
That's what the gospel is, the power of God. God's Word, we discuss, is like a storage battery. His promises contain power, folks. So that's true. According to 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are possible. True or false?
True. Is that quoted correctly?
What does it say? What does it say in the NIV?
His promises are yes and amen.
Well, yes to me is stronger than possible.
I think so.
You know, yes. The point is, all the promises of God. If you can find the promises, the answer to that is yes. That's always, not just
always.
Possible.
Always
stronger than that. That's what I meant to indicate there. It's more than just possible. The promises, you know, you'd say, well, you know, there's a promise of healing in the Bible, so healing is possible for you.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get stronger than that. Mm-hmm. There's a promise of healing in the Bible that says that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed, and all the promises of God, if it just said are possible and amen, that would be kind of weak.
Very.
But it says there yes and amen. What does it say in the NIV? Did you look it up? There you go, right there.
Yes,
right.
Yes, I know.
Right after Foolish Corinthians.
Thank you, Chuck. That'll help her.
For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. So through Him, the amen is spoken by us, glory to God.
If I ask you, are you my wife, would you say it's possible or yes? Depending upon my mood. She says, depending upon my mood. It's a rough night tonight.
I'm sorry.
I was trying to make a point here.
It's a good point, I think.
All right. When the promises in the Word are preached or taught, the power that was available in the promise comes on the scene ready to go to work. True or false? That's true. Yeah. Next question. Power to heal was made available when God made the blank of healing. Promise, good. Power to heal was made available when God made the promise of healing. See, there's power in God's promise. Why is there power in God's promises? Because God can't
lie.
So if God says something, there's power there. Mm-hmm. And you can count on it. Some promises in God's word that men have taken advantage of include salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, promised land for the Israelites, son for Abraham and Sarah, Naaman's healing, winning the lottery, and Peter walking on the water.
Well, you're going good.
Yeah. But the point is, there are promises in God's word. Some are specific to certain people. I mean, like, for example, he might say, you know, the Israelites are promised a certain area of land that's always going to be theirs. That doesn't apply to anybody but them, does it?
Well, all right. Number 8, Abraham and Sarah, that's just their promise.
Right, that they would have a son. You can't claim that promise for yourself, necessarily. But what promises can we always know that are for us? What kind of promises? Promises are included in our
covenant
and what do you do? Redemption, right? Yeah. Any promises include, that's the same as covenant, really. Are anything that Jesus purchased for us is something that you can count on. But you have to do certain things to make it work in your life. All right. Electrical power is available for all our homes. True or false?
False.
It's false?
It's available.
Well, it's available, yeah. It's
available. In other words, if you got the money and you want electrical power put in your home, it's available, right? That's true. Electrical power is on the scene to go to work in all our homes. Does every home have electrical power?
No.
They don't. I mean, you have to actually get it on the scene. I mean, it's because it's available at REMC or NIPSCO or whoever your provider is, doesn't necessarily mean just because it's available, you have it in your home. You have to bring that power somehow to your home, okay? Electrical power is now working in all our homes. That's false too. If it isn't at your home, it can't be working in all your homes. All right. How do I put electrical power to work in my home? Say I have electrical power hooked up to my home. How do I put it to work?
You turn on the switch.
You do. Right. You got to do it. And how do you keep it working?
Leave the switch on.
Very good. Pay your bill.
That's good.
Right. That's another way. But the point here is, I'm trying to get an analogy. Healing power is available in the Word of God. But we've got to do more than know that it's available. We've got to get that Word, that healing power, to the person who has the problem. How do we do that? We bring that Word to them somehow. And when we tell them about the healing promises in God's Word, that power is there, ready to go to work. But tonight, you know, and we're getting ready to discuss coming up, how do we turn that switch on so it goes to work in our bodies? Okay? But so far, you've answered these questions for tonight's homework. Great. And that's the end of that homework.